Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. I'm coming to you today live from Kenya, out here in Mumias near the Uganda border. It's very hot and dry here. If you would, pray for rain. Keep us lifted up as we pray for rain. And the planting season coming up, we need rain to saturate these soils. And we're talking today about the grace to minister the gospel. Last week we talked about the grace as it relates to sin, and that we should not take the grace of God for granted, that we should strive to live lives of holiness and righteousness, and don't assume that God is going to continue to give you a new day every day. Don't assume that your life is going to keep going just because you want it to. And the grace to sin is a reminder that God gives us favor, he gives us mercy and grace even while we are sinners, even though we are sinners, in spite of the fact that we're sinners. God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, and he shed his precious blood not only for those of that generation of that day, but also here 2,000 years later, we have the blessings and the favor, the grace of God to continue to live each and every day, to be thankful for all the things that God gives us. But we cannot assume, we cannot take for granted that if we are living a lifestyle of sin and iniquity, we cannot take for granted that God is going to continue to tolerate and to put up with a sinful lifestyle. And so that was the message from the grace that we studied last week. Well, today I'm going to talk about a different aspect of God's grace. Touches on this theme in several places all through the scripture. And you know, Apostle Paul wrote about 13 books of the New Testament. And he also was earlier in his time a persecutor of Christians. He held the cloak of those who killed Christians. He helped drag Christians out of their houses and drag them off to prison. And so when he came to a knowledge and a position of being born again and a knowledge of Jesus Christ, he was very, very thankful. He was very grateful. He was a humble man. He had a repentant heart because he knew God had spared his life and God had saved him from an awful fate because he was given the opportunity to minister the gospel. He was given the opportunity to take the gospel to the Gentile world. And because of that, Paul realized that he had awesome grace. He had tremendous grace in his life, and God had given him a second chance to do something great for the kingdom. Well, in Ephesians 3, Paul talks about assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace towards me for you. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. And so Paul says that the gift to minister, the gift to preach the gospel, to take it to the Gentiles, this was given to me by the power of God. Paul had no part really in deserving this. He was actually on his way to Damascus. He was on his way to persecute Christians, to drag them out of their homes. And so he was not serving the Lord. He was rebelling. In fact, he thought he was doing God a favor in persecuting the Christians. And so he was on his way to Damascus when the Lord appeared to him. And the Apostle Paul, he was called Saul at that time. Saul was with a caravan or with a group of people, and the Lord spoke to him, and the Lord Jesus showed himself to Saul, and it knocked him off of his horse. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And so the Lord had pinpointed this man. He was watching him. He was familiar with everything that he's done. And the lesson for us there, beloved, God knows what you're doing. If you're living a life and you're persecuting Christians, or you're mocking Christians, or you're not taking seriously the will of God in your life, and you're running from God as Jonah did, you need to stop and you need to pray and you need to ask God, "God, what do you want me to do to get back into your good graces? What do you want me to do to get back into your favor?" And in the case of Saul, he was blinded by the sight of Jesus, by the bright light of Jesus on that road to Damascus. It blinded him, and for 3 days he was blind. He did not go anywhere. He was taken to the house of a man called Ananias, who came and ministered to him and prayed for him and eventually baptized him. And so for 3 days, Saul was in the dark. He was, you might say, in a one-to-one conversation with the Lord God Almighty and with Jesus Christ. And they were saying, Saul, it is time for you to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is time for you to serve Jesus. It is time for you to fulfill the destiny of those Christians that you have been persecuting and helping to kill. It is time for you to take up their destiny and their calling and finish what they have started. And I believe Paul was assigned to take up the destiny of Stephen, one of the first evangelists of the gospel, who was given the opportunity to preach the gospel, and he was given that opportunity to preach it to some high officials, and they actually killed him because of it. So as a result of all that, Saul became Paul. He became the Apostle Paul, and he was given the stewardship, he says, the stewardship of God's grace to the Gentile world. And so in verse 8 of Ephesians 3, Paul says, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Well, Paul, he is famous for sending out messages that are multiplicity or multiple in meaning and in character. But what he's saying here was that I was given the grace to preach to the gospels the mystery that was hidden for ages in God who created all things. Well, what was the mystery that he was talking about? The mystery was that it was God's desire that all people, every single person, Jew, Gentile, no matter where they were, what ethnic tribe, what race, what social status, or wherever they were, it was God's will that every single person should come to know Jesus Christ. And this mystery was hidden through the ages. The Jewish people had the oracles of God, and Paul grew up studying those. He was in the Sanhedrin, one of the elite study groups of the priesthood, and so he knew about the relationship between God and the Jewish people, but he was given the mystery that had been hidden through the ages, and that is that God wanted to offer salvation through his son Jesus Christ to every single person on the face of the earth. Every single person should come to know God, and that was the responsibility, the privilege, and the awesome mystery that Paul was given to share to the Gentile world. Well, in 2 Corinthians 12:7, a very unusual situation unfolds here in which Paul starts talking about a visitation to heaven that he has made, and he refers to the person that has made this visitation as a person in the body or out of the body, I do not know. Paul's saying this person was taken up in the spirit to heaven and shown inexpressible things or revelations that were too great to express, too astounding to express. And if you've read any near-death experiences that people have been taken in the spirit to heaven, I'm not saying they're all valid, I'm not saying they're all 100% authentic, but some are, and some are very valid, and some we can learn a lot about the things in heaven, the things in hell, the characteristics in heaven and in hell. There's a young man here from Nebraska who was taken up when he was just a young boy and shown inexpressible revelations of heaven, and then he was put back in his body. He actually died on the operating table, and he was shown great revelations from heaven. And so I believe that it happens to people. I believe that it's authentic for many people. And in 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul says, and lest I should be exalted above measure, he's talking about after he was given these revelations, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. He's talking about this thorn in the flesh that God had given him. And nobody knows for sure precisely what that thorn in the flesh was. It could have been an actual physical malady. Many people believe that Paul had failing eyesight in his last years, and he makes reference to eyesight in a couple of his letters, and so they think maybe he was given failing eyesight. Other people say, no, it was just spiritual things that tormented him, but I take it literally that he said a thorn in the flesh was given to him, so I believe there was some kind of physical pain that was given to him by the Lord, and that was given to him for just the reasons that Paul stated, because the thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan, lest he be exalted. It was given to him to keep him humble, that he would not think too highly of himself, that he would think humbly of himself. He would be steeped in humility, and he would continue then to minister the gospel with all humility and all reverence and give all the glory to God. He would not take any vainglory for himself, which is very common among humans. It's typical and common for humans to want to bring glory to themselves and take vain glory. And so Paul says that the Lord said that I've given you this to humble you. And the Lord said in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength, the Lord's strength, is made perfect in weakness. Well, beloved, that's a good explanation, that's a good illustration of the grace of God. God humbles us. God keeps us weak. In many cases, he allows weakness to overtake us. He allows weakness and assaults and trials and tribulations to come into our life. And he does that so that we will stay humble, that we will stay dependent on him, that we will continue to give the glory to him. And each and every day, beloved, we will say and give thanks to the Lord, and we will say, thank you, Lord, for your grace to stand and your grace to minister. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to fast. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to stand up and preach the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to go forward, even because I know I'm weak, even when I know I'm weak, even in spite of the fact that I am weak. Lord, because of you, I am strong. Lord, because of you, I can go forward. Lord, because of you, I have the strength to stand, the strength to minister the gospel. And so that is the grace that we all have and the grace that we all participate in as ministers of the gospel. Well, I have to make a confession, beloved, because I'm a missionary here in Africa, and I have traveled in 6 countries here in Africa over the last 10 years, parts of 10 years. I haven't been here the whole time, all of that time, but I have traveled over 6 countries. I've walked, I've ridden on motorbikes, I've ridden on buses, I've ridden in cars, I've flown hundreds of thousands of miles going back and forth to Africa and while I'm here in Africa. And I have to say that I've been in situations that have been very precarious for me, very dangerous for me. I have been in situations where I have been in trouble with man and trouble with God. And I have been in situations where I was hungry and thirsty and fasting and lacking sleep and lacking food, lacking water, lacking protection, lacking provision. And I know that God has humbled me. I know that God has allowed me to continue to stand. And when I get up on the platform to preach, I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for all the protection. Thank you, God, for all of the ways that you have provided for me. He has never lacked to provide for me. He has never left me out there without provision and without support and without provision to make it to the next place where I was trying to go and to have good support there and people to love me and to take care of me. I can remember one time coming out of the Congo. This was back in about 2014, I believe it was, coming out of the Congo, and I was very sick. I got on the plane in Kigali, Rwanda, took the bus from Butembo to Kigali, and then from Kigali I got on the plane and was flying to Nairobi, but I was so sick on the plane, I don't know if I'd eaten bad food. I suspected that that was what the situation was. And I was so sick, and I was in the bathroom vomiting in the toilet, and I was just so miserable, and I was so miserable I didn't think I could go on another day. I was ready to just lay down and go to sleep, and yet the stewardesses, they would not let me stay in the bathroom. When we reached Nairobi, they made me come out and sit in my seat and buckle in, and I didn't even know if I could stay in that seat for another 5 minutes. It was just torture. And yet, when we made it to Nairobi, they were checking us for Ebola, and so I had to stand in line for another hour to be checked for Ebola. It was 2 a.m. We got to Nairobi about 10 or 11. It was 2 a.m. by the time I got to the hotel in Nairobi, and I was so exhausted, so miserable, so tired, so broken, and I thought, Lord, how can I ever stand up again and preach? And yet the next day, I woke up, I slept till noon, and I woke up, and the Lord had renewed me. He'd given me strength. I was able to eat later that day and to get over that sickness. And so God has humbled me, beloved, and I pray for every missionary out there all around the world. I pray for every minister, every pastor, every evangelist all over the world, because those that are out there on the point of the spear, those that are in the fivefold ministry and have given their life for the gospel, I salute you, I bless you, I pray for you, and I ask God to pour out His grace upon you, that His grace would be sufficient for you, because I know many of you have gone through great trials, tribulations. Many of you have gone through extreme situations, extreme hunger, fasting, and lack of provisions in time. Some of you have gone through great sickness, even cancers, dengue fever, malaria, all kinds of things. And so I say to you that are out there ministering the gospel, and those of you who have been doing this your whole life, I salute you, and I pray that God's grace will sustain you and God's grace will be sufficient for you. Well, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Apostle Paul continues in this passage of Scripture. He says, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And so Paul is saying, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for sustaining me in every situation, in distresses, in persecutions, in reproaches, in needs, in infirmities, because Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. And beloved, that's the way I feel coming to you from Africa. There are so many things here going on in Africa in the ministry that I'm not adequate to do, I'm not qualified to do. I felt that the first time when I came to Africa, that I was not adequate, I was not qualified, I'm not an eloquent speaker, I'm not trained in Bible literacy. I was trained as an engineer, have a degree in engineering, believe it or not, and all of my training in Bible literacy, all of my training in preaching has been self-taught and just listening to other preachers, and it has been a great blessing to me to be elevated and to be exalted by the Lord Jesus Christ. And may His grace be sufficient for me as I continue to preach, as I continue to walk around here in Africa. I don't know the languages very well, and so I don't even know half the time when people are talking around me what they're saying, if they're talking behind my back, if they're conspiring against me, or what is going on when they are talking around me. But I trust God that His grace is sufficient for me, and I trust Him that it is going to be that way for many years ahead. There's going to be great gospel crusades, not because I'm a great preacher, not because I'm a great evangelist, but I see God unfolding the harvest before me, and he's giving me the provision, he's giving me strategies to reach the lost and to reach out to those who don't know him in ways that have never been given to me before. Well, there's a couple more scripture here I want to highlight from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. Paul talks about his weakness here in relation to ministering to the Corinthians. He said, I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And so, beloved, if you're out there and you believe God might be speaking to you about ministering, about being an evangelist, about being a messenger for the gospel of Jesus Christ, don't take yourself too seriously. Just pray and say, God, where do you want me to go? God, how do you want to use me? And trust God that he will find a place for you in the ministry. Trust God that he will find a place for you in the fivefold ministry. And you don't have to be a Billy Graham. You don't have to be a Billy Sunday. You don't have to be a Charles Spurgeon. You can just be who you are, and God will find a place for you. He will find a place and a platform and a ministry for you. What he is looking for is a spirit of humility, a humble heart, a broken and a contrite spirit, and that is what he is looking for, just as he found the Apostle Paul, as he found Saul. He gave him the grace to minister beyond anything that he could think or imagine. Here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still talking about the Apostle Paul. Well, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, Paul says this, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. For God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." And so God doesn't go look for somebody who is already a great evangelist, or somebody who's a great speaker, or somebody who has all the credentials. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips those who are called. And beloved, again, if God is speaking to you, maybe you're not happy where you're at. Maybe you think you can do more for the kingdom. Maybe you've been praying and the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about stepping forward into your destiny, into your calling, stepping forward, preaching the gospel, being a missionary. Maybe some of you have questions about what's it like to be a missionary? How do you raise the funds? And how do you find God's will for your life? And if you look and pray and you look into those aspects of the ministry and you see that God maybe has something for you, trust me that God isn't looking for those that are highly qualified. He wants to qualify you, and he will train you, he will qualify you, he will exalt you if you humble yourself in weakness. And so, beloved, that is the message for today. God's grace for ministry is sufficient for you, but you have to ask for it. You have to humble yourself and say, Lord, fill me up till I overflow. Lord, fill me up with your fire. Lord, fill me up because I want to share the gospel with those who don't know it. And beloved, God's grace will be sufficient for you as well. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank you for listening, but we appreciate your support. We appreciate hearing from you. Sit down, write us a letter, put a check in the mail for us to keep these broadcasts coming to you, and also the great projects we have going in Africa, the Children's Home Project here in Kenya, and Crusades coming up in the summer 2019. We have many projects going. You can go to my Facebook page, Facebook Jim Rao, or to the website, GatheredTheOutcast.com. Check it out. Support us. Become a partner of this ministry, and we will be grateful to you. The Lord will be grateful, and God's grace will be sufficient for you. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week.